Hello there and welcome to the official EFL podcast with the finish line of the regular season very much in sight. In Sky Bet League 2, Tranmere can enjoy the final few days of the campaign as they are safe. Boss Nigel Adkins, though, has an eye on next season.
We've got a lot of things in place looking forward to next season. We've got a team that, as we've just said there, has beaten Stockport, has beaten Wrexham, has beaten Mansfield, has beaten many of the top teams, won't be fifth in the division since November, where we've made this permanently.
David Stowell, one of Sky Sports' finest EFL commentators, looks back on this past week and cast an eye over both ends of the table in all three divisions. And your 72 in 72 comes courtesy of Sam Barham. If you haven't already, then please get following and find us in all the usual places, wherever you get your podcast from, or just watch the whole shebang right here on YouTube. This is the official EFL podcast. So then, it's getting very, very exciting indeed as we head towards the final day in Leagues 1 and 2 and towards the penultimate weekend in the Sky Bet Championship. David Stowell is on board to get us bang up today across the three divisions. Stowley, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm very excited for the end of the campaign, not because I want it to finish, but because this is where it just all gets crazy and chaotic, and you know, things get decided, don't they? So looking forward to it.
You're very well, my friend. I'm even more well given the fact that you're on, and our very special guest this week is on as well, because during the course of a season, clubs have sticky periods. They have periods when perhaps things are going wrong, where there's a lot of jeopardy in a season, but the best clubs get the best people in and the best people move these clubs forward, which is exactly what our guest today has done. And it means, I think, that you can enjoy the last portion of the season because being wonderfully safe, planning ahead to next year. Nigel Adkins, am I right?
Well, you're right that we're planning for next season. We've got one more game to go, difficult one. We still want to do well in that. We want to win it. We want to perform well for the fans who are going to travel. But as you rightly say, it's been a season where things have not gone quite well to start off with. We managed to stabilise it, which is important. And again, it's just a shame, as David said at the beginning, it's an itty gritty bit at the end, and we'd love to just could we just get ourselves promoted? Thankfully, we're not in a situation where we could quite easily have been, where we were looking over our shoulder thinking, oh, we've got to win on Saturday to make sure that we don't get relegated, which would be a real big challenge for many clubs when they get relegated out of the Football League.
Huge, wouldn't it? I mean, it must be. It's funny because potentially, I suppose, if you're a fan, if you're a Tranmere fan, with all the worry and the concern about the club being in a certain position, you get to the stage now where you're in the back end of April and think, well, what was all the worry about? Is it like that from a management point of view?
Well, from our point of view, obviously there was a change because we couldn't afford to get relegated. Obviously, the football club Tranmere Rovers had been in the National League for a few years, managed to get out. Mickey Mellon done a great job. With the ownership of Mark Pallias to make sure we were back in the Football League. It's so important that we don't get back there. I mean, you look at, for example, a Wrexham who have now, walked our division, if you like. Not walked our division, but they've got promoted. But they were in the National League for a good 10 years or so. Chesterfield had just come up again. Well done to Cookie down at Chesterfield, having been in the Football League, relegated. It's tough to get out. Notts County, for example, they were in there for a long time. They did ever so well to get promoted as well. So, being in the National League is a challenge in itself, and it was important that we didn't end in that situation because we want to keep looking forward.
Nigel, we know you as a very positive person. Anyone who follows you on social media or just has generally seen you throughout the course of your career knows how positive you are. So was that sort of part of your personality one of the driving forces in the dressing room, do you think, when you were made interim boss at first and then permanent boss? Because 16 defeats in 21 at the start of the season was obviously the team going in the wrong direction in terms of points, but also the mentality as well.
Well, you said it's about players. I mean, it's about players. It's like this time of the season, it's about recruitment, get the right recruitment ready for the next season. But it's about players. Why does one player do well at one football club and not another football club? Why does he do well under one manager and not another manager or members of staff? Everyone's different. Everyone's unique. So it's how you get that blend of everybody coming together, common cause. As you rightly say, 16 out of 21 games, we were at the wrong end of the division. We were looking the wrong way. As it is, since we took over in November permanently, we would have been fifth in the division. So we've managed to get it moving the right way, the right trend, which is important. But it's about the players, believing. Pruts has played. You know what it's like. Sometimes the fans can be on you. You might have your own set personal situations going on in life. And the person you're playing with in the team you're playing maybe just doesn't suit the way you play. So it's about everybody coming together. from my point of view, we were able to keep a consistent team, which really helped, especially over the Christmas period. We went four games where we won all four games. I think it was a record for the club. And we started the new year, you know, scoring four against Notts County, who had come up, and they were flying at the time.
Yeah.
So from our point of view, we'd had a good Christmas, putting five past Salford. We were scoring goals. And then we continue that. You know, the teams that have got promoted, and rightly so, Stockport, we beat that 4-0 at home, should have scored more. We've gone and beat Wrexham away 1-0. We've gone and beaten Mansfield at home. So the three teams that have got promoted...
The more it stacks
well
up,
against.
Nige.
Sorry?
The more it stacks up with these results that you're throwing out, it's just, you are sort of going, I mean, maybe it's a slightly cynical thing to say, but and given the fact that you're forward, you're onwards, aren't you? Always one step forward. There must be a hint somewhere of what if, given these results that you're reeling off here.
Yeah, what is, buts, and maybes. Again, number one objective was make sure we don't get relegated. That was number one objective. So again, bringing everybody together with a common cause. The common cause is Tranmere Rovers Football Club, team I supported as a youngster, still support. Team I played for, made my debut as a 17-year-old. So I've got like a lot of affection for this football club. My parents still live here. So, and my brothers. So it's kind of like, care deeply about the football club, and it's about instilling that on everybody else. You are representing Tranmere Rovers Football Club, and it's about everybody giving everything they've got. So it's kind of used the mantle of the team, together everyone achieves more. So trying to get everybody to get on board, get a settled side, a way of playing. I think you listen to many of the players when they've done interviews afterwards. There's clarity. Everybody knows what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the same team or somebody comes in, they know exactly what's expected of them. And I think that's important. And at the back of it, it's the players. The players have got to go and perform. You know, we've scored 66 goals this season, so we score goals. Likewise, we've conceded too many goals, but that was a lot at the start of the season. We managed to address that, which was really important. But it's about everybody working so hard for the common cause, coming in, having a smile on your face. I keep saying, we need to win every game. That's what we go into. The mindset is the next game. The next game is to win. The next game is to compete. But when you play a game, we must play a game to win. But when you play games, it should be fun as well. So we've tried to make sure we instill that little bit where you enjoy coming to work. We've got a real good culture, a team culture at the training ground. And we've got a learning environment. I mean, we're in the analysis room here. As we talk now, we do a lot of analysis, a lot of how do we help the individuals develop? I think that's a big thing. Build a team, develop the individual. So from my point of view, the players and the staff, everybody is being on board. So it's not about one person. It's about all of us. But answering your question, it's kind of, we got to the Easter period and it was do you know what? If we just keep on this little run, we can keep going. Yeah. Again, we changed one or two things because we do a lot of analysis and we looked at things and maybe we're not big enough. Maybe we've conceded a few too many goals in from set pieces. You know, if we hadn't conceded late set piece goals, maybe we had them points up would be in there sort of thing. But we have. So we've changed one or two things to see if we can change the story, if you like, what we've been doing. But it's about the players. There's a great camaraderie. There's a great togetherness with everybody, a great engagement with the fans. I think that's the most important thing as well, how you engage. I keep saying to the players before every game, you go out, people are paying hard-earned cash to come and see you. They want to be entertained. They want to see effort. They want to see passion. They want to see people trying to go and win games of football. But they want to be off the seats as well. We got like Robbie Apter on loan from Blackpool. He's had a phenomenal season for us. And again, it's kind of like, can we get the ball to Robbie? You know, I'd pay to watch Robbie play because he's kind of, he gets the ball and you go on him, what's going to happen? And that's what you want as a fan as well. You don't want paint. Yeah. You don't want to watch paint dry where it's get the ball and it's just total possession of the football. And I guess it's boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you want to, I understand it. I watch loads of games of football at different parts of stadium from a technical point of view. And I go, what's the coach thinking? I'm thinking, technically, that is absolutely brilliant. Now I sit on my other cheek and I just go, I'm bored silly. You know what I mean? Come on, we want a bit of action. So it's trying to get the blend. As a supporter, you want to get the blend, don't you? So that's what you're trying to do for everybody. You want to make it fun. You want to make it exciting. But ultimately, if you don't win, you're out. Even if you do win, you're out. But that's what it is, you know? So as long as you just bring it all together. And again, for me, it's that common cause of everybody. Might not be the best player, but you can be part of a team. And it's about everybody striving to go and do something and trying to keep improving. I don't mind us making mistakes.
Yeah.
Don't mind failure because that's how you learn. That's how you get better. As long as you do reflect on it and as long as you do have the honest conversations, we have we have a safe environment here in our analysis room, if you like, where we can have the honest conversations, because no one needs to make a mistake. But you've got to get better. Can't just, you know, you can't be an ostrich and put your head in the sand and just think nothing's happening. You've got to improve all the time. So there you go.
You're clearly buzzing, Nigel, about the job in general, but you must also be really excited about the season to come because of what you've done with the club and the team since you took over.
You're right. I mean, just be yourself. I think that's the most important thing. Just be authentic. So I enjoy it. Obviously, it came out of the blue. It wasn't the intention to be the manager. You know, it's obviously, Mark Pallias is an ex-teammate of mine many, many moons ago at Tranmere Rovers Football Club. And obviously, he's come in. He knew I was seeing my parents a couple of days a week up here on the world, and he just said, can you just come in and have a cup of tea and just be around the place to see the processes we do? That's the most important thing. And obviously, as you just said there, we weren't winning the games that we needed. We were in the wrong situation. So it was kind of, can you just steady the ship? So it wasn't the plan, but can you steady the ship? And, you know, I love this, what I do. I love every day. We've got an honest group of staff, an honest group of players who just want to get better. I love being on the grass every day. Although it has rained more or less every day since I've been up here. So we're due some good, some warmer weather now. But it's good. We've got a real good training facility here. As I say, good people, good training facility, good engagement with the supporters. Bram Park, excellent pitch as well. So we've got, going back to your question, we've got a lot of things in place looking forward to next season. We've got a team that, as we've just said there, has beaten Stockport, has beaten Wrexham, has beaten Mansfield, has beaten many of the top teams, won't be fifth in the division since November, where we've made this permanently. You know, we're top when we look at all the data. We're top for this and top for that. And the caveat is we're also bottom for this and bottom for that. So we've got to get the balance right. But we've got a team already under contract that has won these games and has been on a good run of form, ready for next season. And we've got a camaraderie. So from my point of view, we're ahead of the game. We have got too many players, if you like, which we will trim the squad. But that gives us the opportunity to bring some, you know, more players into the group, to the squad. So hopefully gives ourselves a situation next year that we can remain consistent at the top end of the division.
It's a wonderful thing to hear, Nigel, because we've worked together a fair few times. We've done post-matches in dingy little press rooms across the Football League. But everywhere you've been, be it Scunny, FU, be it Southampton, you've always absolutely cared about who you're with and what you're doing in hand. And you don't see it as a job, you see it as vocational, do you? It's part of who you are. So then you mentioned Tranmere and your ties to Tranmere. Your family ties to Tranmere, your professional ties to Tranmere. Does that give you then both ends of the spectrum? That when it's sweet, it's very, very sweet. But when it's bitter, my word, you feel it more than anyone else.
Well, as you say, Tranmere Rovers, I made my debut as a 17-year-old way back in 1981. You know, I used to come and stand behind the goal and run on the pitch after the game. You can't do that now. Try and get Ronnie Moore's tie up, so Dickie Johnson style. And then Scarborough Woodchurch Lane and try not to get back in the
tie-ups. Bloody hell.
So, you know, it's interesting now that players don't have tie-ups. They obviously got tight socks. But if you notice on the back of the socks on the cards,
they cut them.
So it's a trend. Because we had one player the other day. I'm in the dressing room. I'm looking at him. He's got the smallest calves in the world. And he's got two cuts in the back. I'm thinking, what? Let's get you in the gym and get bigger calves to start off.
They're not cut. That's not a new pair of socks every game. This is what I was asked by my son, because my son's 12. He sees it and he says, "What, Dad, what do they do that for?" As a dad, you go, "Well, that cost me a load of money buying new socks every week, mate." So you're not doing that for a start. But I presume it's just one pair of socks.
No, it is. So they do that. And obviously, what you find with the socks as well, they've cut the ankles off. So they have some under socks on. They've got like little stickers on.
Socks, yeah.
So it grips to the boots. So see all of that, and then you have your sock going down to your ankle, if you like. But it is, you've got all these socks, all these all this merchandise. So we go, don't throw the socks away, you can still use them, the little bits, you know. Keep your feet warm in bed at night, you know. Are you going to try this when you get older? You know what I mean? You've got to keep warm.
I suppose it's that. Or it's the ones you have to wear on an aeroplane to get the blood circulation going.
That's right.
All these footballers with ginormous calves.
Yeah.
But it sounds, like I said, it's that homecoming of more than sorts, isn't it? And it's one that you kind of come back to. I mean, the next port of call is you and Mark running the club right at the very top, isn't it? Is that how it goes?
Well, listen, he's Mark and Nicola, the Palliosses, they've, you know, it's so unfortunate. They're in League One. It was wrongly demoted, probably.
Yes.
From the points point of view. But they got through COVID. They got us through COVID. We've been in the National League. They kept us going. Everybody gets paid on time. They've been exceptional owners. The club is in a real good place when we look at the assets that the football club has, you know. So it's kind of like we're in a good place. We just want to try and be climbing the divisions if we can. But it starts one place at a time, and it's having the infrastructure. And there certainly is a good infrastructure here at Tranmere Rovers Football Club. But like everything, wages and budgets, teams that go up. But even like you look at Forest Green, who have gone down, so there's not always a guarantee at that. You know, they've got bigger budgets than us. Fine. Mm-hmm. Except that, you know, we talked about Scunthorpe United. We won League One with probably the lowest budget in the division. We're in the Championship. Yeah. So, but it just shows about everybody coming together and working so hard for each other, you know. And that is invaluable. And I'd like to think we've got that at Tranmere Rovers Football Club. Yes, we'd like to get or be able to be like fish in a pond where you can get better players in. Mm. But the players we've got give everything. So they're good enough players for me. You know what I mean? If you just give everything you've got and give it to the cause, the team is bigger than the individual. And that's an important thing.
Nigel, since I last spoke to you, I've taken a bit of a leaf out of your book, actually, because I try and go for a morning walk, which is what I know you do. And you were saying when we spoke on the phone previously that you get a lot of your thinking done on your morning walk, sort of, you know, thoughts about the team or how you're going to change things or all that. You still getting to do that, and is that still the way you sort of let ideas sort of blossom in the head?
I do. Walking's brilliant. I've not been on social media since I took over permanently on as a manager, but I do. This morning down at New Brighton, you know, we've got some lovely beaches around here, some lovely walks. So I get up early and you go, obviously you've got the sunrise and you can just, a bit windy or whatever, but there's that, do that first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you can do, just get up and get out. And just get moving, and it starts the day, and then I'll come and do a little bit in the gym maybe. But it's the best way, as you say. You just surround yourself with nature, you know, the noise of that, and just give yourself a little bit of an opportunity to do a little bit of exercise by walking, but thinking and getting yourself ready. Reflect on a few things, but that bit of planning, what you're going to go and do through the course of the day. And as I say, you just start off with 1 minute, and then 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you got, but just every day, or once a week or twice a week, whichever routine you want to get into, it works. And it's wonderful. I was in with Chrissy Kirkland came in yesterday.
How is the big fella? Is he all right?
What day was it? Monday was it. Yeah, he was good. He was great.
Ah, good.
And we had a good little chat. And he loves his walks as well. Walking's brilliant. Yeah. And we had a good little chat. But yeah, it is, David, just getting up. So I'm really pleased that you're finding it beneficial, because I certainly have found it beneficial and I continue to do that. Although maybe not posting it on social media.
I have to clear my head after working with Pratt a lot. That's the reason I do.
Depends how fast he's walking. I see him running away from me, like looking around going, no chance.
But even that, like, so you go for a walk, do it on your own. But how many people go for a walk with a mate as well, have a chat?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm. So we talk about football, and even like we talk about the fans coming to a game, keep saying all the time, the team's going to give everything they've got. They're going to try and win. Yes, we can't win every game of football, but what a great opportunity to come once a week to Prenton Park, or once a fortnight to Prenton Park, or up and down the country traveling with your mates. You might have seen them for the game day. Mm-hmm. Are they getting on? You know what I mean? We talked about football, but also you talk about, are you getting on, and this, that, and you're there. And when they're not there, you miss them. That's important. So it's whether it's your mates, your family members, it's so, so special. And that's the beauty of football. It allows everybody to come together. And yes, we can be, you mentioned it before, you can be emotional with the wins and the losses, but it's bigger than that. Football's bigger than that. Being part, belonging to a football club is bigger than the wins and the losses. You know what I mean? It's special and it should be enjoyed, because once it's not there, you don't half miss it.
It's that sense of community, isn't it? I think we can all definitely relate to that. That's what draws you into football. I mean, you talk about planning, Nige. Yes, final weekend coming up, and it seems to have come flying around once again. I know you're a committed father, husband, grandfather as well.
Granddad.
I'm sure you've got... Do you have family time to make up in the off season? Are you getting yourself away? A bit of sun on your back with everybody?
I have definitely got family time to make up in the summer, because I'm based in Hampshire and I've come up, and obviously I was only seeing my parents for a couple of days. In fact, when we finish this, I'm going to cut my mum and dad's grass. We're around to cut mum and dad's grass.
Fantastic.
But yeah, definitely obviously we're 40 odd years married now.
So she understands.
Or something like that. But yeah, as Anne said, it's kind of like, oh, so much for 2 days a week. But she goes, I can just see how much you love doing what you do.
Yeah.
So I find it's very fortunate. I say, just try and be authentic and just be you. Just enjoy it. You're going to win games, but you're going to get the sack. You're going to move on. That's unfortunately the reality of it, whether you like it or not. But just be in the present moment and just do the best you can in everything you do, and then just try and help people as much as you can and enjoy it.
Well, I mean, Nigel, you've given us so much of your time, mate. Thank you so much for that. It's been a pleasure and a joy to see how the season's gone and continually.
Wow, we wish it was still going on, but that's the problem.
Well, we are. Across the divisions, myself and Stowley are very busy covering it all. But a lot of it, I keep talking about the highs and the lows and getting to the finish line. We're all thinking, can you all just keep going? Because we're really enjoying all this.
As you said, what a weekend. Yeah. There's a few cliffhangers this weekend and obviously the following weekend. I'm just going to say what a great job Grant McCann and Cliffy Burns done.
Amazing.
At Doncaster. You know, we played them. And they were just below us in the division.
Yeah.
I think they just won 11 on the spin.
Yeah. 10 wins on the bounce it is, mate. Ridiculous.
10 is it? And you're thinking, and we played them and we were like, for us, we should have won the game. Mm-hmm. But since then, they went on this unbelievable run. Yeah. And I made up for them because obviously, you know, we had some special times together at Scunthorpe United. And I made up what they're doing there. And fingers crossed they can just keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Here for that. Right, you've got to go and cut some grass. So thank you very much for your time.
Yes.
Make sure you do the edging as well. Get the strimmer out, okay?
Oh, listen, my dad will be there. You've missed a bit. Oh, dearie me, what a taskmaster. But he's wonderful. Yeah. My dad is wonderful. So, yeah.
No, it's just been amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, mate.
Okay, take care.
Top stuff, nice. Summer. David, I've got more from you in the second part of the podcast, so don't go anywhere, because now we're going to go and hear from Sam Byram for his 72 in 72.
Hi, I'm Sam Byram, and this is 72 in 72. Right, Leeds, Leicester, Ipswich, West Brom, Southampton, Norwich, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Hull, Coventry, Preston, Plymouth, Swansea, Cardiff, Rotherham, Huddersfield, Sheffield Wednesday, Millwall, Watford, Birmingham, Derby, Notts County, Burton Albion, Wrexham, Salford, Swindon, you'll probably get a mind blank.
How's that?
That's
about average.
Sam Byram there with our 72 in 72. A very respectable 26 points for him. That puts him 13th in that particular league. Above him, Callum O'Dowda, John Coleman, Joby McEnough, David Artell, Tom Bradshaw, Ebo Adams, Wayne Rooney, Pete Wilde, Danny Cowley, Patrick Bamford, Richie Wellens, and top of the tree is Matt Smith, who is having a wonderful season, of course, isn't he, as well, personally, scoring goals left, right and centre. And in the first part of the pod, hopefully you've just listened to that, we had the wonderful company, as ever, of Nigel Adkins, Tranmere Rovers boss, very much part of the furniture there. It's in his blood, it's in his bones, and he's back at the place he knows very well indeed. We're going to flip it now, Stowley. We're going to start at the very bottom and work our way all the way to the very top of the EFL.
Keeping us all on our toes, even me, you see.
Even myself, mate. I'm kind of producing at the same time and my head's getting boxed. So we've got Forest Green, Sutton, Colchester United. Of course, Forest Green have gone. Sutton, not yet. Colchester, not yet. So there is one game to play. There are 3 points between them. There's a goal differential of 4. But, that's not the end of the story right now, isn't it? Nothing's done and dusted categorically. Are we looking at in kind of Hail Mary terms for Sutton?
Well, I mean, they've they've taken it to the last day, mainly because Colchester didn't get the job done last night in their game. If Colchester had got a point last night, then it would have been all over for Sutton, and League Two at the bottom would have been boxed off and dealt with. But the fact that Colchester didn't make the most of that game in hand, if you like, albeit against a team who was chasing the playoffs, obviously, in Bradford City, yeah, it means that Sutton are alive going into the final day. And you look at the table, and obviously Colchester United would be overwhelming favourites to stay up because of that 3-point gap. But it could still go horribly wrong because, of course, they're at home, Colchester against Crewe, who are sort of looking over their shoulder in terms of the playoffs with the teams behind them, the Crawley and Bradford and Walsall, who are desperately trying to get up into those playoff spots. And then you look at Sutton, who are away at MK Dons, who are safe in the playoffs, but obviously want to go into the playoffs in form. So it's going to be a tough ask for both of those teams at the bottom, but you just never know. This is where it's not just about the ability to play football, is the ability to keep your nerve and not panic under pressure. Yeah. And I'm sure that if you'd said to Sutton a while ago, it'll go to the final day and you've got a chance, then they'd have taken that, albeit they'd obviously love to be above the line, not below it.
Correct. And work to do potentially if Colchester keep their heads above water. Big, big, big job for them moving forward through the summer. Tranmere, of course, we had the wonderful thoughts of Nigel Adkins, very much with their eyes on what potentially next season could bring. Let's climb all the way up. You mentioned
Well, I was just going to say, Prut, sorry to interrupt you, but I was just going to say that I think Nigel, and obviously we've discussed this with him, but looking at where they are now, it's worth underlining their position in the table because they were struggling for a fair bit of this season.
It was sticky, wasn't it, for a while?
It was. And to think they're 16 points clear of Sutton, and they're 11 points off the playoffs. They've done brilliantly as a unit to climb to where they are. So fair play to them.
Almost seems now when you do cover them over the course of the year, doesn't it? It's almost kind of like, well, what was all the panic about? It's absolutely fine.
Yes.
I'm sure the fans don't see it that way at all. You mentioned Bradford, of course, currently up in ninth. Great form therein. But categorically, the form team in League Two is a South Yorkshire outfit that we've got a lot of time for. You mentioned about the great job that Nigel's done to get Tranmere to safety. Well, I mean, Grant McCann, they were absolutely miles off it. And then 10 straight wins has them fifth in League Two.
It's astonishing. It really is. And I spoke to a Doncaster fan this morning, in fact, because we were talking about the craziness of League Two. Mm-hmm. And this happens year on year, doesn't it? Let's be honest. You look at the League Two campaigns from the last few years, and I've been lucky enough to do playoff finals and playoff semifinals and all of those. And it's been an amazing journey to be involved in all of that and to see the league table evolve from sort of November, December through to May. Mm-hmm. And you always get a side that just comes from nowhere and just flies up that table. And then not only do they get in the playoffs, but they're in the playoffs in the most amazing form and no one wants to play them. And Doncaster Rovers, I mean, what a story that is. And Grant, as you say, he's taken a fair few knocks over the past few seasons.
Yeah.
But he's stood tall. He's got back up again. He's been ready to take on a challenge and embrace a challenge, which Donny was always going to be, but there's a good solid club in there with a good amount of success in recent years to fall back on a little bit if you're a fan or you're involved in the club at a higher level. And I mean, it could still go wrong for them. I don't think it will. But ultimately, what a run that's been. And you just would not want to face them in the playoffs.
For context, on the 6th of March, Donny were 20th in League Two with 40 points from 35 games. 23rd of April, after winning 10 games in a row, they have moved to fifth with just one game of the season remaining. That is a staggering turnaround. Further up the table, you mentioned MK Dons as well. Stockport, crown champions. Oh, I was going to say, deservedly so, But if you're the champions, then it's absolutely deserved. But you've got two teams in Mansfield and Wrexham that have pushed them all the way. Does that make their achievement, because we're going to come on to the championship very shortly indeed, but at the top of each division, it's been a breakneck speed for a very long, consistent period of time, isn't it? And they do go up as champions, resolutely putting to bed, that playoff heartache, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I did that final last season, and it was, what were they, 7 minutes away from getting promotion. And then Amari Patrick got the equaliser for Carlisle, and then on you go from there, extra time penalties, and it's heartbreak for Stockport County. And it's so difficult. I think, I mean, you know this obviously from your years in the game, that you speak to people in the game and you've experienced it yourself. Mm. When you have a setback like that, yeah. whether it's relegation, whether it's just missing out on promotion, it's really hard to turn the club around quickly, mm-hmm. isn't it? And get out of that sort of feeling sorry for yourself mindset, yeah. if you like, or just the negativity that surrounds that, the doubt that creeps into the mind when you go back and start again in a new season. And they've done really well to be positive from the off. And I often go back, and we've talked about this on the pod this season, that the game at home when they beat Wrexham 5-0.
Yes.
Wrexham were always going to be challenging for promotion this season. And of course, there they are in third as we speak, might well finish the campaign second or third. We'll see what Mansfield do at Barrow on the final day, as well as what Wrexham do as well at home to Stockport, funny enough, on the final day. But that was a real mark in the sand, wasn't it? Saying not only are we going for promotion, but we are ready to take on anyone. And, you know, 5-0 victory. And on the day, they thoroughly merited that. They made Wrexham look ordinary. And fair play to Wrexham in that sense for bouncing back from that as well. But yeah, Stockport County, worthy winners.
Intrigued to see how all three of them do in League One, which is our next port of call. So at the bottom end, Carlisle, Port Vale, Fleetwood, consigned to League Two football next season. Cheltenham Town, who, when Darrell Clark took over, they were rudderless, hopeless. They were practically goalless as well, let's be brutally honest. Were they?
Yeah, couldn't score, could they, at all? No.
Of where they were. Big win against Peterborough. A much changed Peterborough. People use that term, but you've still got to beat that team that's put in front of you. They did absolutely that. Which then means now they have got a chance. And I think possibly, not that I'm going to take words out of your mouth or put them into your mouth, Stoutley. If you'd have given Darrell Clark going into the final game of the season with the ability, potentially with a result to go their way, to make sure they were safe, given where they were, given the desperate position they were in, he would have taken it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he would have done it. Funny enough, there was a spell, wasn't there, when they were on a really good run of form and it looked like they were just going to walk away from this relegation battle and just sort of wave it goodbye. And then they hit the rocks again. Yeah. And so they've done well to kind of steer it around a little bit. Two wins from the last three now, which just means that they go into that final day with that little bit of belief. They're at Stevenage, who have obviously just hit the buffers a little bit, but have done wonderfully well. It's so important to not look at Stevenage's campaign and see it as a failure because they didn't make the playoffs when they were up there for so long. So I just think Steve did a brilliant job there, and the players and people like Jamie Reid, who really stepped forward and had a terrific campaign. So Cheltenham go to Stevenage, Burton go to Fleetwood, who of course are already down, but You can look at that in lots of ways, can't you? These fixtures on final day, you say, well, Fleetwood are down, so their season's finished, and you know, we should go there and win. But actually, Fleetwood have a game at home in front of their fans where they want to show, okay, we've gone down, but you know, we're going to go down fighting, if you like. Mm. So that's not going to be simple for Burton. It's not going to be simple for Cheltenham. It's set up amazingly. Goal difference, they're within two of each other.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could well see that if Cheltenham get a big win and Burton get a draw, then it's Cheltenham's to stay up. So, yeah, fingernails will be bitten at both of those games for sure. And it'll be very interesting to see who stays up.
And I mean, Darrell said that if he does, didn't he, Stowley, it'll be his greatest footballing achievement. And I think we can wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's done a terrific job there. And of course, let's not forget that there's also Cambridge United in the mix just about for relegation. They've got a cushion there, but they're still under a bit of threat, particularly because they've only won 2 out of 10 games under Gary Monk as well. So it's all going to be fascinating to see how it all pans out.
Well, let's move our way up through that particular division as well, then, because you've obviously got Pompey boxed off. Congratulations to them. Let's just flip it back just a couple of positions. Lincoln level on points with Oxford in 7th, but Lincoln currently occupy 6th spot. Blackpool just behind them in 8th. Barnsley, though, is a very curious situation because from the outside looking in, 5th place in the division, the potential of going into the playoffs. And yet, I don't know if they did shake hands at the end, but they say, thank you very much, Neil Collins, on your way. Do we have any sniffs potentially why? Can we guess why that could be the case?
This is a really interesting story, as you say. And I was at Blackpool against Barnsley on Saturday for Soccer Saturday. Ooh, and
any signs whatsoever? Come on.
Well, I mean, in terms of form, Barnsley's form has fallen off a cliff. Yeah. So that's the one thing to say straight away. 2 wins in 11 is not playoff form. Mm-hmm. But they've stayed there. And they've stayed there because so many teams are taking points off each other at this stage of the season. But you look at someone like Devante Cole, for example, who scored 18 goals this season, his career best total. But I think he scored one in 16 games. So, you know, the goals have dried up for him. They've dried up for the team. And funny enough, they scored twice at Blackpool, but they conceded three. So they lost the game. And that's given Blackpool that resurgence, or continued their resurgence, up towards that line potentially to getting into the playoffs. And I spoke to Neil after the game. I did an interview with Neil, Neil Collins and Neil Critchley. Neil Critchley was obviously delighted because he was chuffed to have got the 3 points, even though it was a really tight game. But Blackpool played really well. Karamoko Dembele was a star player on the day.
Yeah.
And Neil Collins was very sort of philosophical about it and sort of saying, you know, we've got to pick this form up. We've got to get confidence from this game because we've scored two goals and we didn't play badly. And he felt they should have had a penalty at the end, which would have got them a draw and would have sort of kept Blackpool away from them in the playoff mix-up. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see the decision to part company coming, but at the same time, I can see this is where Barnsley are thinking, right, let's try and change things around a little bit so that we go into
that funk.
Yeah, exactly. Go into the final day at home to Northampton Town, get Oakwell behind us, get 3 points that just means it doesn't matter what happens anywhere else. We're in the playoffs, and then take that confidence into the playoffs themselves. But it will feel awful for Neil, considering what he's done to get them in there, to now be sitting and watching the playoffs potentially if they get in there.
Speaking of playoffs, Derby Bolton. Derby are second, 89 points, goal difference of 39. Bolton third, 86 points, goal difference of 35. If you are a Rams fan, you are comfortable to a point with being there. There's still, we know, final day drama has the potential to come and bite them on the backside. What's your thoughts, Derby or Bolton for second?
Derby for me, which is funny to say because a few months ago I thought Bolton were going to go on and win the title potentially. Mm. It's not quite worked out for them in that sense. And I look at the final day games, Derby are at home to Carlisle. Now, obviously, Carlisle, bottom of the pile, 16 points off safety going into the final day. Clearly relegated, but the point of the numbers mean they're way off the pace, unfortunately. It's just not been the season for them. And as we mentioned earlier, I did that final last year. It was so good to see them go up because they really deserved to go up, but they've really deserved to go down this time because of the way that the league has panned out. So you would imagine Derby at home to Carlisle, that should be 3 points. And if it is 3 points, then it doesn't matter what Bolton do. And Bolton are at Peterborough. Now, albeit it's a Peterborough side comfortably in the playoffs and all the rest of it, but still a talented Peterborough side.
Momentum as well. That last game of the season, bouncing into the playoffs for Posh, isn't it?
Exactly. So it would look very much to be Derby's, particularly obviously with a 3-point cushion over Bolton. Mm-hmm. But because the goal difference is close, you just never know. You just never know. But you'd expect Derby to be second place and to be promoted, yeah.
You would. And again, a good job potentially to be boxed off by Paul Warne. That, I mean, let's not take anything away from Ian Everett or Darren Ferguson. Tremendous managers across that particular division. Into the Championship then. Rotherham have gone. They do have a new boss though. Steve Evans rocked up with his sombrero, ready to bring the good times back.
A quiet entrance, is there? And exactly. That was nothing like a quiet entrance.
I know that we've gone down, but look at this. This is amazing, this big hat. Potentially a hammer blow for Huddersfield Town, 4-0 at the weekend. Birmingham City, but the biggest winners of the weekend, categorically, Sheffield Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can't legislate really for, in a relegation battle like this, when you're desperate for a lift, you're desperate for points and goals, when the opposition goalkeeper has a nightmare like Ainsley Pears did at Blackburn Rovers, and you got a feel for him. I was commentating when Aaron Murich let one go under his boot the other week at Burnley against Brighton, and it's just, I mean,
must be something in the water up there. Is it that northwest there?
But it, I mean,
light of it. Sorry, Ainsley. Yeah. It's an awful position to be in, mate.
It's as a goalkeeper, you know, if you make a mistake like that, it's curtains, isn't it? It's a goal, and that must be a horrible feeling. And then you've got to shake it off and play the rest of the game. It's not like you can just put your arm up and say, "Right, I'm coming off." You've got to crack on and get rid of that. And of course, the opposition fans, every time you get the ball, you know, give you a bit of stick. But what a lift that is for Wednesday. And to be a point above that line with two games to play, you would not have predicted that earlier on in the season when they were struggling so badly for goals, for points. You could argue they shouldn't be there at all. They should be much further up the table because of the size of the club. But it's not that simple, is it, in football?
No.
There have been various issues, of course, with the hierarchy, with the players themselves, with managerial changes. So, yeah, it sets it all up well, but a hammer blow, as you say, for Huddersfield Town, who at various points in the season have got themselves going, haven't they? And let's point out Sheffield Wednesday, I was one under Danny Roll, but there was a point they looked like they were just going to, you know, fly at the table and it'll all be fine. But teams like QPR winning and other sides like that have just kept them in the box below, if you like. And the final couple of games. I mean, Huddersfield play Birmingham on Saturday, don't they? So I mean, that's going to be huge and make a big difference to the table.
That's Sheffield Wednesday just outside them by a point. Plymouth above them. Blackburn, I mean, we thought they were done and safe off the back of that Leeds victory, but that's been clawed back in. Sammy Smodics on the score sheet once again. I mean, God knows where they'd be without his goals.
Oh, incredible.
QPR, as you mentioned, they're playing Leeds on Friday night. Stoke City, big win for them against Plymouth, the Stephen Schumacher derby. Millwall safe. Well done, Neil Harris. Parachuted in to get them towards safety. He's done exactly that. And let's meander all the way up to the playoff places. We saw, as at the time of recording, there's a big game tonight, isn't there? Coventry against Hull City. I mean, round of applause for Coventry all around. Matt Robbins has been on here. We love you to bits. But for the invention of a certain three-letter word, which we don't have in the Championship, which is fantastic, you would be in the FA Cup final. Sky Blues fans, you've been wonderful to watch. So Hull City 7th. 6 behind Norwich, who drew. West Brom, who lost. They're on 72 as well. Borough, we saw lose to Leeds United. Preston take on Leicester on Monday night. They're on 63, the same points as Borough and Coventry. Is that gap surmountable? Because again, I think we're looking at goal difference as well. And I'm talking like this going up at the end because my maths is terrible, David Stowell.
I think it'll end as it is now, not necessarily. I think the top six will be the top six.
Yeah.
I don't know what order.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be too hard now for anyone else to break in there because the teams above are doing the business. So you're not only looking at the table and thinking you've got to win your games in hand, but you've got to have the other teams making a mess of it. And I don't think they will. You never know, but I think it'll probably be as it is. As for who goes up, I mean, it was huge for Leicester City last night, wasn't it? So then you sort of look at the teams below and think two of Leeds, Ipswich and Southampton have to drop into the playoffs. Southampton's race appears to be run. So it's who joins them in that regard. And it's going to be a brilliant playoff mix-up, whoever gets into it now, because I think all the teams in that top six have been so good to watch this season. They've had ups and downs, everybody. I mean, everyone's wobbled at some stage, which has made it even more intriguing.
You mentioned, obviously, that result with regards to Leicester and Southampton. I mean, that's more than a wobble. Back-to-back defeats and a real humbling, wasn't it, at the King Power?
Yeah, and it was a statement from Leicester, wasn't it, saying that actually not only are we right in the mix to go up, but we're going to go up. And we're going to really inflict damage on someone beneath us to knock them out of the equation. So I think that's Leicester probably done. Yeah. I mean, obviously mathematically there's a bit to do still, but it would be a calamity now if they were to lose that from here. But Southampton. I mean, the thing about Southampton. I mean, you covered the game. You were there. For me, it just turned back the clock a bit to earlier in the season when they were playing out from the back, losing the ball and losing goals. I remember doing the Ipswich Southampton game, which was in that spell when Southampton just couldn't get out. They were just stuck in their defensive third of the field, couldn't find a pass to anyone. It was all going wrong and teams were just walking through and scoring. And so it's a flip back to that, which will really upset Russell Martin as well as annoy him because he'd done so much good work to get through that and sort of get through the quagmire of that form.
Yeah.
So, they've got to pick themselves back up and go again.
He did look particularly hurt last night. Ipswich have been sat twiddling their thumbs, doing sod all when everyone around them has been playing. We saw an emphatic win for Leeds, of course, on Monday at Borough. I say emphatic, they scored four goals, but they did let three as well. It was a great game of football. And then Ipswich back in action on Saturday evening against Hull City. It would be mean to say, who do you think the top two is going to be? But I'm dead mean, so who do you think the top two is going to be?
I was talking to an Ipswich fan yesterday, or a couple of days ago, while there were a few games to sort of catch up to where we are now. And I was saying to him, so how do you feel? What do you think about Leicester? What do you think about Leeds? What do you think about Southampton? And he said, well, I don't fear Southampton because I think if Southampton are going to trouble us, He said, well, they've got to play Leicester and Leeds. So actually, if they're going to trouble us, they'll have troubled the others. So it means that we're probably going to hopefully sail through and be all right. Now, obviously, that hasn't worked out in that way. But the game in hand Ipswich have got means they can jump above Leeds. And then how do Leeds react? I still think it's too close to call. I think Leicester will be all right now.
Yeah.
But as for who goes with them, I mean, you're in toss a coin territory, really. The only thing is Ipswich's games, they've got, you mentioned the game tonight, they've got Coventry and they've got a home game against Huddersfield Town. Now, you would imagine Huddersfield Town will be fighting for everything on that final day, but the game's at Portman Road. And I see Ipswich Town at Portman Road and I just think, the way the atmosphere builds there, the way they play there, you can't see past them, really. Mm-hmm. Leeds at home to Southampton on final day, away to QPR. Yeah, it's too tight. It's too tight to call. You call it. Too You're the tight. Predictor.
I'm not. In name only, not in any form of consistent output. QPR, of course, Leeds on Friday. If Leeds lose, then that puts Leicester up. If Leicester win on Monday at Preston North End, they will be back in the Premier League. That is as succinct a coverage of three divisions as I could possibly wish for. David Stowell, thank you so much, my friend. Wonderful as ever.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
So two of the very good guys there, the Sunshine Supermen of Nigel Adkins and David Stowell. A big thanks to Sam Byram as well. If you've enjoyed this episode, then please give us a follow in all of the usual places or watch us on YouTube. My name's David Prutton, and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.